0818 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. I think most people will agree that the past 3 years now with the COVID pandemic led to a number of revelations through the awful, awful time. One of them was a number of people in Ireland who were willing to volunteer free of charge and help out. We saw it with the COVID testing centres. We saw it with people, local communities helping their people who were less mobile than they were, be they young or old, to get out and get their messages and look after them. There's been an incredible surge, and we're renowned for it in this country. So we were surprised when we got two different communications from two different people who were different groups of people in different organisations. The one is first one is St John's Ambulance Ireland, and then the other one is the Citizens Information Service. Both of them over the years provided a brilliant, brilliant service in Ireland, and all free, all totally free. Let's start with the St John's Ambulance. We were contacted by a member who said, "I live for St John's Ambulance. This is my life. I have been in it many, many years, and I feel I'm still able to help out. However, I've been just been told that I must retire because I've just turned 70, even though I feel fine." And this is a statement we got from St John Ambulance Ireland. We have introduced a mandatory retirement age of 70 for members effective from June the 25th, 2022, just passed. The decision was agreed by the board of the St John's Ambulance as part of an ongoing governance review to ensure the organisation complies with the charity's governance code, which sets out minimum management and control standards in keeping with best practice. The board of St John's Ambulance also recognised the need to allow younger members progress in the organisation, bringing with them new ideas and different perspectives. The mandatory retirement age will help St John's Ambulance achieve a greater balance of younger people in management positions and provide the next generation of volunteers with an opportunity to gain necessary leader experience. Is that fair? That's the question that our listener asked of members of St John's Ambulance. Is it fair just to simply, in a voluntary organisation where people are still hale and hearty, have years, decades of experience, to just say no when you hit a certain date, regardless of your physical condition or mental condition, you have to leave? And as I say, that's a member of the St John's Ambulance who told us about that. And as and from today in Malahide in North Dublin, we're trying to get information on Citizens Information Services. Citizens Information, you know, they operate all around the country. Again, they were brilliant during the lockdown, absolutely brilliant, and run by volunteers. But as of today, the Malahide Citizens Information Service, as you've known it for many, many years, is simply gone, because the 22 volunteers who've been giving, between them, I think, over 200 years of experience in citizens information, have all left effectively. And I'll begin, if I can, with Mary Gleeson. Mary, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, and thank you again for giving us a platform today to bring to your listeners, to bring it to their attention.
Okay. And how long have you been volunteering with the Citizens Information Service?
I have been volunteering personally since my retirement over 10 years ago, but a lot of my colleagues, and some of them are there 44 years.
Wow.
Including our group leader and trainer, Sheila. So it's a terrible blow,
What has happened as in from midnight tonight?
Well, basically, we have been interacting with the Dublin North Citizens Information Board by meeting face to face and email over the last 2 months, and we were informed that a new model would be put in service in line with the rest of the country nationwide, and that I can give you the details of that if you'd like
please
me to do. So.
What does it mean? Yes.
Okay. And what they're saying is that in July, the volunteers of the Malahide Citizens Information will be replaced by an office-led member of staff, a paid office-led member of staff from the Board of Citizens Information. And it will be a single member, a part-time member, and this member will serve 35 hours over 2 weeks. And then they say that the volunteers can stay if they agree to their role being downgraded to greeting clients, giving out forms, assisting with form filling and basic information. Again, they add on, if you want, they may be able to offer a volunteer 7.5 hours over certain periods and different weeks. But the service as we gave it is being totally eradicated as such, as and from this evening, and that would be after 46 years.
And what was broke with the Citizens Information Service running it that requires this drastic action?
I'll give you a small brief on it, if I may.
Yeah, please, Mary.
Get clarification around it. At the end of 2020, nationally, there were 896 volunteers.
Okay.
215 paid staff and 146 scheme workers. This information I took from the Citizens Information Board. And apart from the Malahide volunteers now, only a handful of volunteers have been invited to return to the centres all around the country. They are all operating now on an appointment-based service, dealing with clients and only offering a limited walk-in service.
Okay.
So, you know, our service is totally different to that, and I can outline that to you should you so wish.
Yeah, please do, yeah.
Okay. What we would do in Malahide is we meet and greet customers up until now. We operate a rota basis with two volunteers available on set hours, morning and evening, Monday to Friday. That would be a total of 50 volunteer hours per week. We're all from a background of financially qualified people. We've had the privilege of being able to do that and give back something. All our engagement with the community has been on a walk-in or a phone-in basis.
Okay.
When people needed us, we're there for them, morning or evening.
Great.
The volunteer receives every induction new trainee. We'll get 13 weeks induction training from the board and, you know, even ongoing training from our Sheila here, who is the trainer nationally for the board and indeed of ourselves. And she would give us training sessions with little exams and budgets and regulatory changes on a constant basis. So that we've been serving, Sheila's been serving for 44 years. She's a superstar, one of the kindest people we could have had. Mm. And she couldn't do enough for anybody. So that's really our story. And
when people come, I know, Mary, your experience is incredible. You're director of Malahide Credit Union.
I am.
Malahide Lions Club. You retired from banking. So what type of information do people seek off you when they come in generally?
Yeah, okay. The person coming up on the lift in Malahide Library to the second floor, they come up with they're very varied. Okay. They come from the local areas, Malahide, Portmarna, Kinsealy, and indeed we serve off-site in Donnymead as well. And they come from areas like Skerries, where the office has been closed 2 years, and they come in on the dart. And before they come in, they don't know what to ask, a lot of them. They would come in because or unfortunate illness has hit them, or poverty, or maybe, you know, any kind of unfortunate situation of lack of funds. They would be distraught because somebody has died in the family. They just don't come in looking for forms. They come for a needs consultation. They come for us to help them, particularly our areas. Now, I'll give you an example, would be the medical cards, the pension applications, the HAP, the social entitlement, the fuel allowance, critical right now. And, you know, the story, I could go on and on. The carer entitlements and the nursing homes is a hugely stressful and changing situation entitlement. And often people don't know who to turn to. It's very difficult for me online to tell you how stressful and unfortunate people can be.
Yeah.
And we give them the full attention, 2 a.m, 2 p.m, of our volunteers. We're non-judgmental above all.
And the other thing, but just as you say it, Mary, the thing that strikes me as well is that you don't decide who gets any entitlement.
People
have to feel free talking to you, say, what do you think? I'm entitled to this. This is my situation.
Yeah.
They don't feel that they're going to lose anything.
When they leave us, we know that we have made a difference in one way or another to their lives. We ensure that they go away knowing what their entitles may be, where they go to, form filling or not, appointments or not, or whatever, and they come back to us for second and third and oftentimes a fourth consultation.
Yeah.
And we, as a group of 22 now volunteers, we were more, 22 volunteers at the moment, we feel so good that we're able to help people. Yeah.
And you're using...
And we care, do you know?
And have there... This is the baffling thing. Where... Why... Is the system broke? Why were you all downgraded?
We cannot understand why it has... Where it has come to this. We only found out that all around the country, the volunteers were not invited back post-COVID. And we were the only surviving, I call it surviving group of volunteers left in Malahide.
Okay. So
and
the
we only found
free,
out.
Free to Malahide 22.
Yeah. Okay. The board, the information board email would say to us, the last one says it must be in compliance with requirements from our funders. Funders are the Department of Social Welfare and Social Protection and, of course, the taxpayer.
So as Heather Humphreys told, the Citizens Information Bureaus around the offices around the country, get rid of the volunteers.
Well,
I doubt that. Does Heather Humphreys know?
I doubt that very much.
Does the minister know?
Yeah. Now, the volunteers, I must reiterate, they're saying it's downgrading the duties of the volunteer. Like, they're prepared to say to us, they're offering us, they're saying that one paid employee will give 35 hours over 2 weeks, and we don't know the details by appointment or otherwise. And then they're saying we can assist by form filling and answering the phone and greeting. Now, we haven't been, that's not how we feel we could carry on.
So nobody from now on will be sitting down in front of you in a confidential manner and say, Mary, I just want to lay out everything that my pension, this.
Yeah.
Will you give me some confidential advice? I know I'm not talking directly to the department, so it won't affect me. You're at one
It's totally remove. Confidential. Yeah. No names are taken.
So you will no longer be able to do that.
Joe, we, as a group of people, we feel we've been so privileged having led very fortunate careers and everything else. We feel so privileged that we're able to look and meet with these people, help them in every way we can. We are all locals here, except for one lady comes out from Rohini, but all the other people are locally. They're involved in other volunteer groups as well as myself. And we get regular training from Sheila. We get exams. We do everything. We love what we do, and we love doing
and that's incredible.
And
I'm just thinking of those 22. You say there were more who've...
There were more, but post-COVID, unfortunately.
Okay, but it was brilliant that you're still there. Well, you'd be still there until midnight, effectively. It's tonight, isn't it?
Joe, we don't know how to go. That's just it. And we have had the meetings, as I said, with the board of the North Dublin Citizens Information. They would deny that they're downgrading our service, but they are changing it to a model to suit their funders, they're saying. And, you know, my greatest dread would be that we would go back to an online situation where people...
Absolutely.
You know, where people couldn't
have access. But how can they use the word funding when you're all volunteers?
We're all. But the funding, they're talking about their funders in line with their model.
Which is you and I, as a taxpayer.
Absolutely, absolutely.
They're not getting it from a philanthropist or a private company.
Correct.
Okay, stay with us, Mary, because other people... 51551, Joe at RTE last... I'm reading a message there coming in. Joe at RTE.ie. And this is from a volunteer in a branch outside Dublin. And they tell us, this again, Citizens Information, the email he got contained the following paragraph. You have been formally advised by our funders, we have been formally advised by our funders, this is an information board in the letter, that they have decided that volunteers will not be assigned to the role of volunteer information providers at this time. The explicit instruction from our funders, who is the Department of Social Protection, is that volunteers can return to the CIS in the role of, wait for this, Mary, volunteer receptionist, or volunteer specialist service provider.
We were told that,
As you were, this is continuing the email, as you were, prior to the pandemic, the majority of the volunteers were volunteer information providers. Unfortunately, keep playing with these funders. Who are the funders? Unfortunately, our funders' decision means that the majority of volunteers may not be able to return to their previous roles. What type of a country is dumping volunteers?
Yes.
And Ralph McKinney, Ralph, what's your situation in the Citizens Information Service?
I work directly with Mary and the other 21 members of the volunteer group. And I've been working there for 4 years. I've been tremendously impressed by something that was set up in 1976. And it was set up as a completely voluntary organization at that time, where the members went out and had to do fundraising in order to support it. And it was only after 2009 that it came under more of the direction of the Social Welfare Department or the Citizens Information Board. So I feel that I have lost access to the public community, which means something to me as a retiree, and I've lost access to my group of 22, which is another community which is important to me.
And exactly, your group working together. But Ralph, what type of questions were you being asked?
Well, many of the questions that I had more specialization in was pensions, contributory pensions, non-contributory pensions, the HSE Fair Deal programs, which are complex to operate. Many of the benefits that one gets under the social welfare system are means-tested, and these means-tested can be tricky and complex. Many times I would simply have to go to the, I would simply use the Citizens Information database to find information.
Brilliant.
And I would find that our clients sitting across from us were unfamiliar with that database didn't know how to actually understand how to read it, because rules can be complex, and one word in one paragraph, if you miss it, can change the whole context.
We
have other types of queries too, where a lady called one day and she said she separated from her husband. They're still living together in the same family home. They have children, and she wonders what benefits she's entitled to. And I had to inform her that she's not entitled to any because she's still living with her husband.
Okay.
So we have frustrations as well.
Yeah, I can imagine. And Ralph, you're based in your case, it's in the library. So it's in a warm, welcoming place that people feel at ease and they don't feel. And this is nothing to do with people working in social protection, but they're not going into a social welfare office. They're going into a friendly people like themselves who have lucky, as Mary said, and privileged to have extra experience. And Ralph, what is your own background?
I was a management consultant for 24 years with PricewaterhouseCoopers. And after I retired, I continued working for another 10 years as an independent project manager.
And you're out the door. You're gone this evening.
Yes.
You're gone.
Mm. Yes. Well, yes. Let's be very clear. We have not resigned. What we've said is we will not work under the projected working conditions, but we're quite willing to continue doing what we're doing as before. But we have refused to resign, and we almost feel that we've been put into a position where they can say we resigned, they could then close the office and blame it on us.
My God. Ger Foran is on the line. Ger, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
You say, I feel I've been downgraded and demeaned. Why?
Because up until now, I was considered capable of giving information to our wonderful clients that came into us. And as of from tomorrow, I will be just told that I can direct them to the paid staff member and do simple form filling. And that is all I'm deemed to be qualified to do as from tomorrow.
And how much training have you had when you're in? I hear this woman's name, Sheila, mentioned. Do you get a lot of training, Chair?
We get up to 7 months, 7 training sessions a year, Joe. We are updated on everything. She's absolutely wonderful right across the board. And we have everything is covered, from budgets to social welfare changes, anything that comes.
Fair deal, complex.
Yeah. Fair deal, yeah. Everything, Joe. We get a myriad of training right throughout the years.
And is there a staff, a fully paid member with you at the moment?
No. We are the only centre which is.
And these are all obvious questions. You're all Garda vetted. You're all got great. Exactly. Why are we throwing out something that's not broken? Stay with us. 51551 Joe at rt.ie. 0818715815. By the way, we've been on to your individual board or the person who sent you the letter. And we'll read out the letter in full, because it is, as Mary said, and that's their right. it is saying you refuse to accept the new terms and conditions, even though you're a volunteer. You refuse to accept the new terms and conditions, therefore you are deciding not to proceed. We'll read that out in full after the break. But but we have been onto them now for over 24 hours, and they say the board have to meet to decide what their reply is to the queries from Liveline. Basically, we're asking them, what was broke that you got rid of the volunteers? Were there complaints? Jared, do you know, were there complaints? Were there petitions? Were there pickets outside your door? Did you do something wrong? Did you give out wrong information? Did you upset a local TD or something?
Never, Joe, never. The amount of appreciation from our clients is immense. And okay. we see it daily. We see it daily.
Okay. Helen has contacted us. Not a real name, and we have her full details. Helen, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
You work in a citizen. You're a volunteer, are you?
I'm a volunteer, Joe, yeah. And I have been for over 20 years.
Well done. And you're not a Malahide, just for...
No, I'm not.
Okay. And what's your situation? Are there still volunteers? Are there staff members? What is happening?
Yes, well, I've always worked with staff members and never had a problem with the staff members. But I do feel that the volunteers are being downgraded. Certainly. I agree with everything that Mary, I think, said.
Yeah.
I agree with everything. And another thing that hasn't been highlighted is that the local outreach centres, as they were known as, that was where volunteers would work in another area outside of the main branch.
Okay,
they have closed those.
Oh, have they?
Yes.
And these were, just to remind, these are face-to-face places.
These were face-to-face.
This wasn't to ask the computer
question.
No, if you had a computer, if you could read and write.
I personally volunteered in the outreach centre for the last 20 years. And to me, the biggest people that are losing out are the older people, who have no access to online information.
And have you seen the number of volunteers in your centre go down over the years?
Yes, we would have had anything up to 30 at one stage, and at the moment we have 4. And 2 of those are not even allowed to give information.
What are they doing?
Meeting and greeting.
Not the receptionists are brilliant, but meeting and greeting. That's all. Hello, my name is Mary. What's your name? Where do you want to sit? Go over there. Good God. And Helen, you've what, 20 years experience?
Yeah, over 20.
And you're in an area outside Dublin. What type of requests do you get, Helen, when people come in to citizens' information?
Very much what the other people have said. But in the outreaches, it would be more to do with the older person who maybe just needs help with forms to be filled. But anything, you can have anything. And a lot of people, as Mary would have said, just need someone to sit and explain things to them and give them their options and just generally make them feel that things will be all right.
Yeah, and according to the OECD, 18% of adults in Ireland, 18% have reading issues.
So we can't. I would agree with that. Yeah.
And then I don't know. But we all assume in the world we live in, unfortunately, that everyone has a car. We don't. The significant percentage of the population don't have cars. We all assume that everyone can read and write. As I say, nearly 20% have difficulty. We all assume that everyone has a laptop, which is simply not true. It's by a significant number of people. We all assume that everyone has a credit card, which a significant amount of people do not have a credit card. And as Helen says, it's primarily older people. Okay, we'll deal with the letter that you all got after this break, as the clock is ticking. You are finished as of midnight tonight, but the your board in Malahide are saying that's your choice. Back after this break.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Now, it now seems from our calls, we'll deal with that, this whole idea of getting rid of experienced volunteers and citizens' information is much more widespread than anyone was aware. And as of midnight tonight, the 22 volunteers, as I say, between them over 200 years experience of helping people, non-judgmental, in a warm environment, in an environment where people don't feel if they reveal information inadvertently or they put it the wrong way, they're not going to be told, oh, you're not entitled to that, we have to knock you off this, that or the other. There's nothing like that. It is people, as you heard the experience of people. The first woman, Mary Gleeson, director of a credit union, worked in banking for years, so she gives advice on money. Ralph McKinney, the second person that contacted us, was a management consultant, I think, in PwC, PricewaterhouseCooper, no less. And he's retired, and he helps people, as he said, with the Fair Deal and paperwork and computers and finding out information. Jer Milan has been doing it for years, and she finds she's been downgraded and demeaning. And as you can hear, I think, from the three people there that we've spoken to, and indeed Helen is outside of Dublin, and she said that she feels the volunteers, well, they have been downgraded because there was 29 volunteers in her centre, her main centre. They're now down to 3, and her main centre also operated an outreach centre, a location, face-to-face, and that's gone. It didn't reopen after COVID. Now, who has Ralph and Jer and Mary? This is the letter you got. Basically saying, and maybe you can answer the points that are made here. Dear all, I hope you're well. During the summer, writing to you in relation to North Dublin Citizens Information Service Office in Malahide. It's acknowledged that the centre has developed over the last 40 plus years. It's been there over 4 decades. And the huge effort and commitment of you and the entire volunteer is greatly appreciated. The operating environment has changed significantly over the past number of years, and the North Dublin Citizens Information Service has to operate within particular parameters as laid by our funders, the Citizens Information Board, CIB. This involves the changes to how the service is delivered in Malahide. As you're aware, the North Dublin Citizens Information Board has engaged with the volunteers over the last number of months with a view to ensuring that volunteer involvement in delivering the service in Malahide continues as we move forward. At our last meeting, your representatives informed us that the volunteers in Malahide did not wish to be involved in the delivery of the service from September the 1st within the parameters outlined. You will appreciate the NDCIS must deliver the service in compliance with the requirement of our funders. The current way of delivering the service will cease on August 31st, today, and the service will be delivered within the parameters laid out from September the 1st. Now, can I put it to you, Jer Foran, that, as you're aware, we engage with volunteers over the last few months to ensure that the volunteer involvement in delivering the service of Malahide as they continue to move forward. What was the nature of that engagement with you, Jer?
Well, I'm a board member and I was at that meeting, Joe, and what we explained was we were very, very happy to continue as we were. We were not leaving, but we could not accept her conditions. And that was our reason for why we couldn't.
And what in particular could you not accept?
We cannot accept being downgraded, Joe, yeah. Because with our clients coming to us, you know, they come into us today and we're giving the service, and then tomorrow we're sitting in a corner and we're, you know, and you're just directing them to this paid employee to come in, and all of a sudden, you know, we're deemed, it's demeaning. It's demeaning to all of us, and we just can't accept that. And also the logistics, because the room is tiny, so even that wouldn't have worked.
Mm-hmm. And they say, at our last meeting, your representative informed us that you did not wish to be involved in the delivery of the service from September within the parameters.
Under their conditions.
But it's not as if you're not paid workers, you're volunteers.
I know. Yeah, and, I know.
Joe, can I make a point? This is Helen.
Helen, yes.
No new volunteers have been recruited in the area that I work in the last 5 years.
Okay, no, none recruited. And Helen, was there complaints about the Citizens Information Service? Was there complaints that you were giving out the wrong information, or
No.
Chair,
no.
Ralph, was there complaints that you were aware? Were you aware of complaints saying you are misleading people or?
No, I've never heard a whisper of a complaint. In fact, the Malahide Chamber of Commerce actually gave us an award, which we did have on the wall.
Okay. Mary Kavanagh is a councillor, local independent councillor in Wicklow. What's happened to the Wicklow Citizen Information Service?
Hi, Joe. First of all, I just want to say I'm delighted to hear this being brought up because I think it's a very, very important issue.
I was totally unaware of it. I think most people are.
Yeah, about 2.5 months ago, I think, I heard that our local branch was closing down. And we were told that people could now attend in person to the Arklow branch or the Bray branch.
Okay.
But when I did a bit of investigation into it, I realised that Wicklow was one of the busiest branches that there are in County Wicklow because we have a huge catchment area.
Of course.
You know, there's a lot of outlying villages and places that people used to come in. And we also have taken in a lot of refugees over the last few years.
Yeah,
and these people are very, very dependent on the likes of citizens' information to know where to go, you know, what to ask for, how to get this, that and the other. And they need to be able to sit down and speak to somebody face-to-face. This online, ringing in, travelling when maybe they don't have the funds to travel, it's just completely and utterly unsatisfactory, Joe. There's a huge cohort of people that are depending on citizens' information. It's a free service, it's confidential. The people who work there, whether they're volunteers or paid, are highly professional people.
Yeah.
And people leave there, sometimes maybe not with the answer that they want, but at least feeling that they have been listened to and somebody understands what their problems are. My big issue is, what is going to replace this? Is the government doing anything? Because I've been trying to find out about, is it a funding issue?
Well, these letters are saying, with these changes, getting rid of the volunteers, or downgrading or demeaning them, as Ger Foran called it, and that's you can hear that from the people involved. They feel downgraded and demeaned, volunteers all. They're saying this is at the behest of our funders. Now, the funders are the Department of Social, the state, the taxpayer, you and I.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, have you been able to find out why they shut down the Wicklow branch?
No, I've been trying to find out, and I heard was that they're changing the way they do things. I have no idea, John.
I say this to the people we contacted over 24 hours ago looking for an answer to a very straightforward question. Why can't the Citizens Information Bureau Board, the clue was in the name. The clue was in the name. Why can't they give us information? Louise, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
You use the Citizens Information Service.
I did, and they were absolutely excellent.
And don't go into your own information, but did you find them helpful, Louise?
Exceedingly helpful, exceedingly. I had been told by the social welfare that I wasn't entitled to anything.
Okay.
For over 6 years.
All right.
And Sheila, who took my file and looked into it and came back to me to say, yes, I was entitled to a certain amount. And then I took it further again and I went to Richard Bruton.
Okay, the TD.
Who was absolutely superb.
Yeah, he's very good in constituency work, he really is.
Very. And then I got a back payment of 6 years.
Now, you're saying Sheila did everything. She didn't have to go through.
I did nothing.
Brilliant.
Having spent 6 years ringing the social welfare, having documented the date and the time and who I spoke to.
Yeah, well done.
And kept a record of everything.
And you got nowhere.
And I got absolutely nowhere.
And Sheila took the file. Sheila, who we mentioned earlier, Citizens Information volunteer, she took the file and she worked on it and said, hang on, I'll write on your behalf, obviously with your agreement. And you got your back pay.
I got my back pay. Otherwise, I was going to leave well alone. I'd had enough yeah. with the social welfare, and I thought enough is enough.
Okay,
and I didn't know where to turn to.
Okay, and were you aware that the volunteers are now gone, effectively? They couldn't do what,
I have just
they,
been
couldn't do what they did for you.
Yeah, nobody could have done it except them. They were exceedingly helpful.
And now the Department of Social Protection are saying we don't want volunteers anymore doing that type of stuff. They can say hello to people and go and sit in the corner, probably facing into the wall, so you don't distract people. That's the decision of the funder, according to the board, and the funder is the Department of Social Protection. So the Department of Social Protection not want people asking questions about the Department of Social Protection?
No.
Okay. Louise, and where did you get your citizens' information? Where would have been in the library, would it, Louise? Or
yes, I went to the library in Malahide,
yeah.
and I'm not from that area,
okay.
but I'm nearby, and it was somebody had suggested I go
okay.
there.
Great.
So and I went to the one in Kilbarrick, and they were very helpful as well.
Right.
The social welfare there, and they were hitting their head against a stone wall.
Okay, but you managed with the help of the volunteers to get 7 years back payment, which, and also not just that, but the relief for you having, what you say, you documented every phone call and letter you sent to the department. Well done.
Yes.
Okay, Louise, thanks indeed. Thanks
Not
indeed.
I'm sure, and thank you.
I'm sure the volunteers are grateful of your support as they face into the last 10 hours of their volunteer life. John O'Sullivan. John, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
Are you a volunteer as well?
I was a volunteer for 13 years.
Whereabouts, can I ask?
In Cove, in County Cork.
And what's happened to Cove Office of the Citizens Information Service?
Well, since 2020, the start of the COVID thing, the office has been closed.
Okay.
It reopened, or it was actually operating on a telephone service during the COVID situation. But when offices started opening again, we were told that the Cove office would not be reopening at this time.
Why?
That, in some reasons, we weren't told for a start. We weren't told the reason. We were just told that it wasn't feasible, that there was a change in policy, a change in attitude. And that they were going to phase it back in, and due to the Ukrainian situation, that if we wanted to volunteer, we could sign up for training to give information and assistance to the Ukrainian refugees in the Corn Market office in Cork.
In Cork?
In Cork.
Well, Cove is a distance now from Cork, I'm sorry.
Very much so.
And you pay to get from A to B, and you... but so is the Cove office gone?
The Cove office is being manned by a paid employee 3 mornings a week.
But can I walk in like Louise did in Malahide?
There is no walk-in service in Cove.
Oh, for God's sake.
Has not been since the year 2020, March.
But are there volunteers available to run a walk-in service?
We are all available.
Ah, good God.
And have offered our services. And a point that you're raising there about the minister isn't, or the department isn't interested. My response from the minister's office was that citizens' information is run as a separate company, and how they allocate their funds, how they manage their hours, how they manage their staff is their responsibility. It has nothing to do with the minister.
Ah, well, I take that point, but however, they couldn't. The citizens.
I agree.
The Citizens' Information Board cannot decide, okay, we get 10 million from the state. Instead of having volunteers and running walk-in centres, we're all going to Bermuda.
Yeah, but if you notice recently, social media has been used now to be given out information. So there seems to be an attitude like that. Instead of volunteers giving the information,
citizens' information is used
on social media.
Yeah, but how many people in the country, like we as I said at the start, we all assume everyone has a credit card, everyone has a car, everyone has a mobile phone, everyone can read and write, everyone is on Twitter or whatever nonsense is around. Nonsense.
Not everyone is. Like,
exactly.
When I visit the town centre here, I've been approached on nearly every occasion to know when is the office open, and looking for assistance. And in some cases, I'm giving people assistance.
And John, how long were you with them for as a volunteer?
13 years.
And how many hours a week were you doing?
Well, I was what was known as the organiser. And I would probably be in the office every morning of the week. But officially, I'd be on duty either one morning or two mornings of the week.
And it was totally voluntary?
Totally, total voluntary. Like,
do you get a hamper at Christmas from Heather Humphreys or anybody?
Not a hope. We used to get a portion of the cost of our Christmas meal when we go out Christmas week.
Yeah, as a group.
Yeah, and we get a portion of whatever the cost was for the night.
Do you even get a box of Quality Street or Inequality Street?
No. It depended on the person who was in charge of our centre. That was how they would reward us.
Yeah. Okay. Let's listen to Maurice Fitzgerald. I don't know, Maurice, who are you giving out about, the St John's Ambulance or the Citizens Information?
Well, not giving out about the contribution that volunteers make, but I think it's time to make room for the younger people coming up. Joe, this notion of a volunteer, you know, working 9 to 5, like working long hours without getting paid, is kind of ridiculous. And I actually said in a government consultation that all volunteers should be paid something anyway.
Yeah, but that's not the issue here. The citizens.
Hang on,
if you're listening, the Citizens Information Service, the people we've been on, none of them have been told they're being downgraded or demeaned because of their age, or to let younger people volunteer. In fact, they've reduced the recruitment of volunteers. Full stop. Now, that's your first part of the pillar of your argument, gently demolished. The second part is, are you saying everyone should be paid because they're taking away jobs from other people, is it?
Well, I think, look, all volunteers, I mean, this country is rich enough anyway to pay volunteers something. This notion of a guy coming in and working a hard day, essentially, and getting nothing for it. Maybe you could get parking benefits, or they could get some other kind of benefits, or credit, tax credits or something, and give them something. But I don't think they should be there for too long. Maybe they could work 1 or 2 hours.
That's what a lot of them are doing. What is your problem, Maurice?
Well, Joe, I think volunteering could be, there could be too much volunteering.
In a society where people have experience, in a warm communal society that is Ireland still, thank God, with GAA and parishes and the way we organise the country that we live in, you're saying there's too much volunteering going on.
I'm just saying they gotta make room for the young blood, the young generation coming up.
That issue hasn't arisen. The Citizens Information Service, if you've been listening, have stopped recruiting volunteers of any age, and are getting rid of volunteers as of midnight tonight, who have many years' experience. You know, they're not just volunteering, not just walking in off the street. I'm bored, I've 2 hours, can I sit down and try and answer a few quiz questions or play Sudoku? These are people who have experience in finance and pensions. I see one caller, I'll bring her in now, is ex-revenue commissioner. She's able to give out confidential, non-judgmental information to people. I just think for anyone to turn over and to come in and say,
"But Joe, what
there's
about
too
the
many
young people? Joe, what about some people
yeah,
who want experience? And
come
who,
on,
how are
yeah.
they going to get that kind of experience if they're not going to be given a chance when these guys who've had experience?
But these people,
the
but
point.
These, but hang on, Maurice, you're not listening. I'm sorry.
I am listening, Joe.
Well, I'll tell you, well, listen again. And the point these people are making, they are not stopping anyone coming in. That wasn't the issue. That wasn't a complaint from the reason given by anybody in the powers that be in Citizens Information. That was not the reason by any stretch of the imagination. Sure,
what is the reason, Joe? What is the reason? What is the reason?
That's what we're trying to find out, Maurice.
No one knows.
No, we are trying to as citizens, we're trying to get information from the Citizens Information Board, not the volunteers who are doing their best. And I just think for a country, country that has full employment, for people to volunteer. It was showed it during COVID. I thought it was magnificent.
But it is. The volunteers and do great jobs. No one's doubting it, Joe, that volunteers do great work. I just think we need to leave some breathing space, Joe.
Yeah, but I'm... these people were not stopping other people coming in. In fact, they were doing the opposite. They were encouraging other people to join. Now they've been told they've been downgraded and demeaned, and people
are
just
for paid people who
want
to get paid.
For one person paid for 35 hours a week. One person.
And they're still paid.
Yeah, that's fine. They're still paid. Nobody, not one person, if you've been listening, of the 12 or 15 people that have been on, have said on this programme, get rid of that paid person. Not one single person has said that. Kathleen Houghton. Kathleen, good afternoon. Kathleen.
Good afternoon, Joe.
You're a volunteer in Malahide. Do you want to answer Morris's question that you're keeping young people out? So nonsensical. I don't know how capable I would be of that,
but I'd be very happy to just to say basically with regards to us, there is no way we're keeping anybody out. We are total volunteers. We're not interested in taking anybody's jobs. In actual fact, we're encouraging people that would come into us and say, I'm on social welfare for whatever else, but I'm afraid to go back to work because I lose such and such. I've been offered 10 hours, I've been offered 20 hours. And we actually go through it with them, calculate for them, and in order for you to go back to work now, you can go back to work and you can earn so much money without it affecting, be it your Medicare, your social welfare, or whatever it is. So that's the way we work. I was an inspector of taxes. I worked for 34 years, took early retirement about 10 years ago, and then thought I could give something back.
Okay.
But when I contacted Citizens Information or through one of the ladies, I didn't just arrive in there one day. I was interviewed. After the interview, went ahead. I had 14 weeks training of a half day a week. And from then, I worked with a colleague. You never worked on your own. So I worked with a colleague, and people would come in. They'd sit down. We'd make them comfortable. And they would tell you what their woes were, all sorts.
And no, the other thing as well, this is revealing itself to me as I look at the calls in. You don't get paid.
No, the
people who come in do not pay you in any form. So people can feel, I'll go in, I'll get the same information from Kathleen as if I was Dennis Desmond or Michael Flatley or whatever.
Absolutely. To the point that the person came in, you never asked a name, a phone number, nothing. You didn't want to know anything about them. There was no record. And if you did something for them and worked something out, you tore everything. Nothing was kept. We weren't contacting any department.
You basically
went through everything that they gave to you and gave them their options.
That's interesting. There was no file kept in terms of, or no access allowed to what you knew.
Absolutely
by anyone else, of course.
Nothing. Yeah. We had access. All we had in the computer, in our room, two chairs, a desk and a computer, a printer. We had no, basically the computer was that we could access all the information we needed to get, be it limits, be it
but
rates
the other
or
thing,
whatever.
The other thing that's the most valuable thing in that room was the brain of Kathleen Houghton and the memory and your experience and your knowledge. And I say the same with everyone else. By the way, I'm encouraging people around the country. Can you find out about your local? Somebody has texted me. I've just looked up at the Citizens Information Centre in Enniscorthy, and this is what's written on it: permanently closed.
All I know that for the last number of weeks, we were getting lots of calls from the Skerries area.
That's gone as well, is it?
That's gone. So the people were ringing, thinking they may be ringing Skerries. We were taking their calls. And a lot of them were saying, where are you? And we'd redirect them, maybe to Balbriggan if they had to. But they'd say, Malahide is too far. A lot of these are elderly people.
Yeah.
And they depended. They got to know you. The Garda station here in Malahide, a lot of people would come. They said they were into the Garda station. They referred them to us.
Brilliant.
Banks. Yeah. It was a local assessment area that people felt they could come in safe hands. Some people came in quite a bit, but you always could help them.
The Department of Social Protection, this is their statement, is aware that the Citizens Information Board is reviewing the role of volunteers by the Citizens Information Service with a view to defining the most... What is this gobbledygook? with a view to defining the most appropriate role for volunteers in delivering a quality service to the public. Kathleen, were you not delivering a quality? Were there complaints about your service? What
I
was broke that
you,
they had to
the
break
it? Professional thing that I, the professional system that I have, I could say probably, now revenue is very professional. Revenue have a great website.
I'm not
demeaning that any way. But I went in there, and not alone that, but it wasn't a question that you were left to your own devices. Next thing, about every 6 weeks, you'd get this email from Sheila with about 20 or 30 questions. And you had to do all your calculations.
Okay.
And we'd go to Sheila's home and we'd actually... She'd take us in two groups because you had to keep the place open. And she told us everything we needed to know. With the result, I have known so much more about things like this. Like, it was unbelievable, the different stuff that you didn't realise was available. And people, there's so many people that left that place with a smile on their face. And they'd come back in and they'd say, thank you so much.
I'll finish the Department of Social Protection statement because it gets more Byzantine. These are decisions of the Citizens Information Board, which funds the Citizens Information Service, and not decisions of the department. Well, what's the sentence? But they've left out the end of that sentence. I'll read it again. These are decisions of the Citizens Information Board, which funds the Citizens Information Service, and not decisions of the department, which funds the Citizens Information Board. This is nonsense.
It doesn't seem to make sense. There's a lot of it that doesn't seem to make sense.
Who decided in government that we want rid of volunteers? Experienced, Garda vetted, constantly trained, constantly given exams by this... I keep hearing her name. I don't even know the woman's second name, but she's a legend, obviously.
Sheila Hayes is an absolute legend, without a shadow of a doubt. There are more people around the area that would know of Sheila because she has given them so much help and so, an awful lot of people, women in particular, with regards to their PRSI contributions, would not have known how to do the PRSI. They may have a couple of years left. The advice she would tell them, get your details. We all learned how to do those calculations.
Well done.
In there, sitting down opposite somebody, and I'm talking about going back 30 to 40 years of credits, of reckonable credits. And we ended up saying that you're 3 years short or whatever it was, and the person may have the opportunity to go back to work for those years in order to qualify for their contributory social welfare pension.
Yeah. This and when you mention contributory, non-contributory, fair D, all the different people's eyes glaze over because it is so.
Absolutely, they get
you need
blank.
Someone like yourself. Okay, stay with us, Joe at RT.ie. We're talking about, which is gradually emerging during the programme, that the Citizens Information Service and the Citizens Information Centres, which have been going for 40 years, they began as free, volunteer, confidential services. A lot of them were in GAA clubs around the country, if I remember correctly, and then libraries. They're at one remove from the state. So you can basically say what you want and put it, but you have a face-to-face. This is the thing. A face-to-face. Once you had a voice or a way of communicating face-to-face, you were dealt with in the world. But there's now, obviously, a decision by the government, then the Department of Social Protection, then the Citizens Information Board, and they're all putting it back. The Citizens Information Board are saying it's down to the funders. The funders are the Department of Social Protection. The Social Protection saying these are decisions of the Citizens Information Board, which funds the Citizens Information Service, and not decisions of the Department, which funds the Citizens Information Board. We'll have an easy Sudoku after this break.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
There seems to be, bizarrely, a decision by the Citizens Information not to give citizens information about the fact that they are getting rid of their face-to-face volunteers. They're getting rid, it seems, of their face-to-face service. And this is revealing itself. It began with the Malahide group contacting us. 22 of them contacted us. They're gone as of from midnight tonight because they feel they've been downgraded and demeaned. And they've been asked, they've been told they can't do face-to-face. They'll do a meet and greet and direct people to a full-time employee, which is fine, but a full-time employee could not deal with everything that the 22 volunteers were dealing with. Kate, good afternoon. You just want to point out how good the Citizens Information volunteers have been for your family.
Yeah, Joe, with my mom, really, my mom, you know, her anxiety levels reduced considerably as a result of going to the Citizens Advice Centre. Just with different form filling, what she's entitled to. I think it's like no joined up thinking, really.
Well, no explanation either.
No. I mean, I think she'll be, I know she'll be devastated because there's certain things, forms that she's in the middle of filling out at the moment with ourselves. But she said, oh, and I can't wait and to go she, back people, to the girl.
And people know when they go to volunteers, the volunteer is not being paid, is not told if you tell people about back pay or whatever, that's going to affect the department and you can't. None of that. They're volunteers. They're confidential. They've no skin in the game, to use that awful phrase.
No.
And they're face to face in the world we live in.
And they've experiences.
Yeah, and they've experienced. We just had a revenue inspector on, who's been giving up her free time after she retired to help people at one remove from revenue. She doesn't have anything to do with revenue, except that she has the experience. Okay, Kate, thanks indeed. 51551. Seamus Walker, where do you volunteer, Seamus, in Citizens Information?
Hi, Joe. I volunteer in Wicklow.
Okay.
And it has been wonderful. The service, by the way, the Citizens Information Service is absolutely superb. And the training that I was given by the Citizens Information Board before I could become an information provider was exceptional. But Sheila Hayes trained us also. She gave us additional training. Mm-hmm. And she is a national treasure. She is absolutely superb in the knowledge she has, the way she can convey it. And I have worked in local government for most of my adult life, and I have never had as good a trainer as Sheila. And not only did she give information, but she put it in context. There was a particular, I'll just give you an example. There was a particular payment, it used to be called FIS, which was people were working, but it was a low-paid job, they could apply for this. And she brought us through all of that training, showing us how much the person could get, etc. But then the kicker at the end of it, and the thing that stayed with me and changed my attitude to the way I dealt with anybody coming in after that was, think of the difference that 30 euro a week could make to that family.
Absolutely.
So, Sheila, I am upset, Sheila. And her, by the way, their group was quite unusual in that was totally run by volunteers.
Most
of us worked hand in hand with our paid colleagues. So, for example, I was a public official for most of my life, and when I retired, because I had engagement with the citizens' information from the, we'll say from the public servant side, I knew what they did. I knew their intentions.
Okay.
I knew how good they were. I knew that the interventions that they could make, etc. And that's what I volunteered to do. The 2 years of training.
And Seamus, what is happening in Wicklow?
Well, Wicklow, the office in Wicklow, because it wasn't certified as being acceptable from a safety point of view because of COVID, the local manager had arranged to get a new premises, mm-hmm. and that was going through, and then the plug was pulled. No, it couldn't go ahead.
So Wicklow was
closed, and you can either go to Arklow or Bray. Now, by the way, Arklow and Bray are both wonderful offices, but if you're in Wicklow without a car or without public transport isn't great. What citizens' information is that it's there. It's in your locality.
Yeah.
You know that it's going to be open.
That's
5 days a week.
Yeah.
Now, what will happen is with the Wicklow model was that you had one paid member of staff, sometimes part-time, sometimes full-time, and you had a group of volunteers who came in at least one day a week and perhaps even more. And what happened is at that time, people could come in, they would be seen almost immediately, their query would be dealt with.
Yeah.
But in recent times, what has been happening is that citizens' information has been going into advocacy. Advocacy is, we say, other than just answering a question, you take up a case on behalf of a person. Okay. You help them to make their case,
yeah,
or you go with them. Now, that takes time. So volunteers, by their work that they could do, they could allow the paid information officer to take on advocacy.
Okay.
And I can tell you that the value of advocacy is amazing. The difference that that can make to a person who has been refused, for example, maybe had sought a disability allowance. And you can imagine now, if you have a disability, you apply for a disability allowance and you're refused. It's like a kick in the teeth. And then you come to Citizens Information and you're helped to make your appeal, and it goes to an appeal and you get your appeal.
And Seamus, are you volunteering at the moment?
No, because the office is closed.
Can I ask you, obviously you're a veteran now, but what experience did you bring as a volunteer?
Well, I worked in local authorities all my life. So I had experience in housing, planning, environment. I ultimately became a director of service.
My God.
At one stage, I was director of service for community and enterprise. And at that stage, I worked hand in glove with the Citizens Information Service in Wicklow to set up a volunteer agency. Because I was aware of the value. Now, this is while I was still working, I had no function with Citizens Information. But because I was aware of the linkages that they could bring to people. Now, as a public official, very often you'd have somebody coming in looking for something. You had to be very clear in the information that you gave, and sometimes a bit bureaucratic, because if you said the wrong thing, it could be taken up the wrong way.
Okay.
What happens with Citizens Information can interpret the bureaucracy. So a form, for example, Wicklow County Council and all other local authorities now have a form that is 20 pages long if you want to apply for social housing. 20 pages.
God.
Now, that's not their fault. It's that's a national form. But what you can imagine is it's like a committee making a form. Everybody puts in their own little bit and nothing gets taken out and everything gets added on. So you have somebody coming in, we can help them with the form. Now, if somebody comes in and says they're looking for a form, we'll give them a form. Somebody comes in and they're looking for a form, we'll ask, are you okay with filling that in?
Okay.
And we'll say to them, look, you fill it in as much as you can, and if you have a problem, come back to us.
Brilliant.
And then if someone can't fill it in, we'll fill it in for them. So, you know, we'll grade our service to their need. But imagine a 20-page form. And people get bamboozled by it, and they're afraid that they'll make a wrong answer or whatever. The other thing, by the way, is I have to say, is over my years in volunteering, I have spoken with local authorities and I've spoken with social welfare and health authorities, etc. When we phone and we say, as I used to say, my name is Seamus, I'm a volunteer with Wicklow Citizens Information Service, we got a response that was brilliant.
Is that what you say, Seamus? I am a volunteer. You say that?
Yes.
Yeah, you're trained to say that. Okay.
No, not everybody would say that. But that's because I wanted the people to... who they were speaking to. Now, they would, by the way, because of confidentiality, they would always ask for the person who was in front of me to confirm that they were who they were and that I was speaking on their behalf.
Brilliant.
At times, by the way, it would just be that you would hand over the phone to them then.
Yeah.
And because sometimes, by the way, people are afraid to speak to somebody in the department.
Of course.
So I can tell you from the point of view of a public official, and then the point of view of a volunteer. This service is superb. Oh, and by the way, there is one other thing, Joe. The government has a volunteer policy.
The government
wants people to volunteer because it's good for everyone.
Yeah.
It's good for us as volunteers, by the way. I have had, in my public service, I loved being there because I liked working.
But what a gift that we have someone who was director of council services, is now retired and has decided to work at one remove as a volunteer to help people in a non-judgmental, non-threatening, relaxed setting to impart information and help them. It's a gift. What did Winston Churchill say? You make a living by what you get, and you make a life by what you give. I think people, everyone I've heard, it's a tragic loss that you are not still working as a volunteer in Wicklow, Seamus Walker. Go to Mina Mahogan back after this break.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
For 40 years, the Citizens Information Service have been a bridge between the state and the citizen. And it's been a very safe bridge, because once you stepped onto that bridge, you weren't stepping into the state area, you were stepping into an area that was staffed by volunteers, and they had no axe to grind, they'd no targets to meet, they'd no boss to answer to in terms of, they were at one remove, they were a bridge between the citizen and the state, and now we're discovering, wasn't announced by the way, wasn't publicly announced, we're discovering today, thanks to a group in Malahide, that a significant number of the citizen information offices around the country are now permanently closed. They didn't reopen after COVID. That a significant number of volunteers are being told you can meet and greet, but you can't give information of a particular kind or whatever your experience is. And they are being for this constructive dismissal, insofar as you can dismiss a volunteer. But that's my explanation of it. Suzanne, you say, how do Citizens Information volunteers help you? Citizens Advice, as people know it as well.
Yeah, I was told, Joe, to... my pension was due, and I didn't know how to go about it, and I was told to go to the Citizens Advice.
Okay.
I went in, and I can remember one of the girls' names. It was Joyce. And they spent the whole afternoon going back over my history of work,
right,
because I had a gap of 12 years.
Okay.
And if I wouldn't know how to fill out the forms or anything like that, I'm not computer literate or anything like that, but I... they spent all afternoon going back over my work period to right to when I started, because I had a gap of 12 years. And they, if I had that on myself, I was getting sick benefits, you know.
Okay.
But if I had gone myself to the social welfare, they would have taken back all that they'd been giving me because of money that I was getting from an ex-partner. And they gave me, they got me before, they spent all afternoon.
Brilliant.
And before
Brilliant.
I walked out, before I walked out of that office, I had my pension, contributory pension, and it was backdated.
Okay.
And they spent all afternoon with me, and I went in with the following day bunches of flowers for both of them, because they
well done. And again, it is, you're walking onto a bridge. You're not walking into the office of the Department of Social Protection or any other, and you feel safe there. Okay, Suzanne, thanks indeed. John Tobin, John, good afternoon. You're on your way to volunteer.
I am indeed, Joe. I am indeed. Yeah, I volunteer. I'm going on my way down to Carlo, where I carry out some volunteering work.
Well done.
But you know, and like, volunteers are a part of our world. It's in our DNA to volunteer, you know. And it's an incredible thing to hear that our Citizens Advice Bureau is turning down. I volunteer with the Citizens Advice as well, although it's in a very small way. I'm a peace commissioner, and I sign forms for people.
Well, well done.
And you know, the odd time you would be called in, it's important to them people, because it could be passports, it could be anything, you know, and they might not know anywhere else to go with them, or they mightn't have anywhere else to go, you know.
And were you aware of this new strategy?
I'd heard it, but I didn't believe it. I thought it was just bureaucracy gone mad. Someone was just putting out a kite.
And I must say, they have a brilliant, brilliant website. But the problem is that we are hearing that Citizens Information was for people who don't, for various reasons, that can't go through the beautiful, it's a beautiful website, the ins and outs of a website, and they need to interact with real, real people who have experience.
That lady I just heard, Suzanne, actually proves that. I mean, you know, when people sit down to fill out, be it a 20-page document or whatever, it does catch them up. And if you're sitting down with someone that has the experience and they're able to take you through it in their own time, and as you, to use your word, it's a bridge. You're not going into the department and you're there's a guy there and he wants to get you out as quick as possible. They're helping you, and it's a bridge. It's a way. And it's shocking to hear that a very important part of most towns, in rural areas particularly, that the citizens' advice is going to be treated like this.
Yeah, well,
and it's called citizens. That's why it's citizens' advice.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
It's beyond belief.
Okay. Well, John, keep travelling, safe travelling. I know you pulled in there, and keep volunteering. Back after this break.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
The Citizen Information Service, I'm looking on their website. They even say on their website, I'm looking at a few where it's supposed to be a drop-in service. Clients travelling to avail of a drop-in service are advised to call ahead. So then it's not a drop-in service. Mary Gleeson, who started this discussion, Mary, you've 9 hours left as a volunteer.
We've 9 hours left, and for the record, Joe, first of all, again, I want to thank you for giving us this platform today, 31st of August 2022. We were established in 1976, the Malahide Citizens Information Group and volunteer group, and I'd like to say one of the people who set up this was Nora Owen, our first lady of Fingal, very proud of.
Former
today,
minister,
and I'd like officially to thank a few people. If I could do that very briefly, is that okay?
Yeah.
I would like to thank, first of all our volunteers, past and present, as it's a very sad day for us here in Malahide. The volunteers would especially like to thank the staff in Malahide Library, particularly and especially another Joe, who leads all our people onto the lift and helps them with all kinds of situations and forms on our behalf, who has been wonderful to us and has a kind word for everyone. I want to thank you, Joe. I want to thank all the listeners, and I particularly want to officially thank Sheila Hayes. She's been our wonderful mentor
legend,
for 44 years, Joe.
Okay.
She trains nationally all around the country, as well as each of us individually, as was pointed out eloquently, pointed out by Seamus from Wicklow.
Okay.
And again, okay. I just want
to thank all the listeners. Well done on your service, Mary, and all of you. It's a terrible tragedy that you're still all hale and hearty and full faculties, and the government, through their agency, is throwing all that incredible experience into the bin. I volunteer. We will be returning to this tomorrow, such as the outrage among people who've benefited and people who've volunteered over the years and this Citizens Information Service. And we ask the Citizens Information Board to give citizens information, please. We are the citizens being asked them through our listeners. Tommy O'Sullivan, the sound, Jane Galvin, BCO, and Ed Egan, producer Ray Darcy next.
0818 715 815 stays open until 3:15 p.m. or email joe@rte.ie.